Let's go ahead and turn in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we'll go ahead and get you marked. And we'll read it here in a little while. But I just want to sort of get us to where this is. And as I was standing and rejoicing and obeying God, He was just dealing with my heart and making me realize that there is as much love of God as you want. If you will just step out and get a hold of it, you will feel love for people that you never knew. Total strangers you'll have compassion for. It'll cause you to give your last dime to somebody and money won't matter anymore. It'll cause you to feed somebody else when you'll lose your plate. And I was just thinking about, Lord, help our church continue in the love of God that we're able to help and make a difference. Hallelujah. That's the best mission statement that you could ever have, to operate in the love of God. It'll cause us to go out of here and extend the arms of this church further than 13th Street. All right, so let's go ahead and read a couple verses and we'll preach a little while. In the 39th verse of chapter 12 in the book of Matthew, it says, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south," this is Sheba, "shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty." Let's make sure we get this part right here. "Findeth it empty, swept, and garnished." Amen for the mysteries of God. "Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Begin to read these sets of verses here in the book of Matthew. And in its reference at the time, it was referring to the Jewish people and the Jewish church. And Christ was beginning to speak about how that the presence of evil spirits would begin to overcome a person. And you begin to read this in depth, and I was praying God, and I said, "Lord, I don't know. This seems to be too big for me, God." But the Lord is beginning to deal with my heart about things that are just more than just touching the surface. You see, we've touched the surface for so long that we have no depth in the Word of God. We've not got to a place where the mysteries are beginning to come out to where it's helping us more than just knowing the Word of God. There is such a purpose for the Word of God in your life that it becomes more than just knowledge. But you begin to realize that life principles are in there. And there's knowledge in there. And there's encouragement in there. But hallelujah, when you read this part, this is a warning passage that you read that Jesus was beginning to bring out. And my heart is very troubled because oftentimes we come in troubled before we can enter into worship. Help me preach tonight. We come in trouble before we can begin to worship, or we'll come in totally distracted and just totally oblivious to what God is trying to do for our lives. Yet we say that that's what we want. And the Pharisees in that time were saying, "Yeah, show us this sort of sign," because they had the religion down and they had the law of it down, and they even admired the Jewish law in that time, and they had it down pat. Nobody could have done it better. But Jesus was beginning to reveal a mystery unto them that if they would have got a hold of it, I'm sure it would have brought them out of many troubles. Hallelujah. There are evil spirits that we dwell in today. There are evil spirits that are there to tempt you. There are evil spirits that are there to bring depression upon you. There are evil spirits there to even oppress you, to push you, to put pressure down on you, to make you feel low. And how many of us have felt low in the house of God from the pressure of evil spirits? And how many of us know that until we come into the fullness of the Spirit of God, you won't only not have the liberty to get rid of it, but you won't have the strength and the power to put it to flight. So many of us may be in this place right now feel in trouble, but I want to remind you of this mystery that Christ was bringing out. He began to talk about the state of a person that was dealing with evil spirits. And hallelujah, when you're in religion and you're in the law, there is a reformed state of your outward self. So to the naked eye, when somebody sees you, they see you clothed. They see you clothed. They see you talking in a polite manner. They see you in such a way that they would not even appear to them that anything was wrong. Yet on the inside, there's trouble. There's trouble all around us. Yet to our naked eye, we cannot see that somebody is on the brink of destruction. Evil spirits have a magnificent way of causing a person to try to cover up the affliction that it's trying to do. Hallelujah. And there may be trouble and affliction in this place, but I'm wanting us to understand the depths of this. It's talking about when a spirit would begin to leave. But let me tell you something about an evil spirit. There is no rest for an evil spirit. It has no rest. And it comes for those that are vulnerable. We want to see a church restored to its power. And we execute the coming and being punctual and being attending and operating in all the things of religion to a T. We know this. We see each other in our dresses and in our suits and our pants and our shirts. And everything appears to be well equipped to do the job. But yet on the inside, there's something holding us back from pure and utter freedom in the Spirit. And I've been praying that God will show me, so that not only I can begin to get victory, but us as a body will begin to get victory. And tonight I want us to look inside of ourselves for a little while. I want us to look into those what we call inner demons that we feel like that we can never get rid of. That part of you that would cause you to be angry. That part of you that causes you to be frustrated and irritable and not able to display love to one another. That part of us that we'd never talk about to anybody. Those evil things that are trying to corrupt our lives is the very thing keeping us from full victory. And we'll feel the Spirit of God here, and we'll feel the Spirit of God there. But to have it on a continual basis, we've almost persuaded ourselves is an absurd ideal. And that the only way that we feel like nowadays that we can have a full walk with God is if you go to a church till it gets down and go to another one that's on the high end. But in doing so, leaves us without examining our true self. Our true nature. Let me bring this out to you tonight. So on the surface, we see each other as okay, but on the inside, we've got trouble. An unclean spirit leaves for a window of time, and upon its return, it finds that Christ is not there to shut it out. When we go all week long without reading the Word of God, when we go all week or weeks or months without having a sincere spirit-filled relationship, those evil spirits will come to you, and without the power of Christ, you will be defenseless. Now you have all the authority in the world to be able to put things to flight, but it has no authority unless Christ is in it. And there are many things that come with having a relationship with Christ. It causes you to lay off things that would hinder you. People think the hindrances are always in an object that you see or that you can get a hold of, but there are hindrances that you'll never touch. That without the authority of Christ in your life, that it will continue to torment you. Torment you to a place that you're not able to enjoy your walk with God. We're often looking for the substance that'll bring deliverance. But yet in our heart, we don't desire that because our hearts are troubled with evil. And God is trying to speak to a place, and to a church that'll get a hold of this concept that without Christ dwelling continually, we run into trouble more often than we should. The heart is swept by attempting to be reformed to an outward person. You read that in verse 44. He findeth it empty and swept and garnished. So we've cleaned ourselves up. And on the outward, and even the Pharisees had this down pat. They had their garments, and it looked appealing. And to somebody that would see them from a naked eye's perspective, that they seemed like they were fine. But yet it was garnished, which still allowed the incoming presence of evil. This makes us the enemy of the truth. Every heart that's in this place will hold and be resident to spirits that will try to torment you unless you bring in the presence of Christ, unless you bring in the presence of the Holy Ghost, unless you begin to be more devout in what God is dealing with you. I'm wanting to speak to you about things tonight that go beyond just scratching the surface. There are people that are being captivated by the lust of their flesh. They find things appealing that draw them away from God. This is one form of this evil spirit. And it begins to speak to you, and what would draw you in your lust, you may like eating pancakes. But if it's something that draws you away from God, even though for a season, it will feel like it's okay. So we have that tempting spirit. Another one I want to talk about is a tormenting spirit. It's one that will continually come to you over and over and presenting a same thought to the point that a feeling of torment rises within you. Those feelings that you have, you begin to say, I don't want to think about this, or let me go, or I'm tired of being this way. And oftentimes we'll act irrationally to try to rid ourselves of torment, but yet it continues to stay. Another form of evil spirit is a discouraging one. One that will put you down and tell you things that are certainly not true. Tell you that you have no purpose. They'll tell you that life's not worth living. Tell you that you have no friends. Tell you that you have no abilities, that you have no worth. And it just continually presses you down. So if it gets you to a point where you feel worthless, then it's going to try to push you even further. To the point that you'll never function and have a sense of life about you. I'm going into detail about this tonight because there are going to be things ahead of us that we will need to know the nugget in all of this. And here it is. You stay close to God and you're going to be able to put every one of these on the run. There are those that may be troubled in your heart tonight, but I'm telling you that right now, not a week from now, it doesn't take very long to make this decision, but if you are tired of the torment, and tired of being depressed. I was tired of it. And I'm getting victory each day. And when it presents itself again, tries to rear its head up again, I begin to realize that the presence of the Holy Ghost is the only thing that gives me power and dominion over my emotions, especially over what I don't understand. We need to get out of being disobedient because we're seeing a lack of obedience, and we need to stop being tormented. We need to let go of all the things that we feel like is causing us to feel worthless, all the things that's causing us to feel like that we have nothing to do. Hallelujah. If you just lifted your voice right now and just sincerely believed, God is ready, hallelujah, to rid you of every torment. I am determined to walk out with peace. Not peace as the world would give, but peace that's going to sustain you. I want to rest. This is for somebody right now. Jared, I want to rest at the end of my day. I want to feel like that somebody needs me. I want to feel loved. Hallelujah. The only way that I can recommend that you begin to change your life is to come to God and seek the presence of the Holy Ghost. It will begin to give you authority over every one of these torments. And there won't be anybody, anywhere that the enemy could say that when it rests for a season and attempts to return, that you'll have a presence about you. It'll protect you and it'll give you the joy of the Lord. I'm excited tonight that I do not have to live in torment. Somebody going to help me praise the Lord? I do not Somebody needs to know this. I do not have to live in torment as He lives in me. I have the sweet victory of the promise of God, and no man can take that from me. No form of discouragement could take that from me. They may try to put you down to the point at your job that you feel like that what you do is of no worth. But if you do it in the name of Jesus, it will cause you to grow. It'll cause you to be in prosperity. You may just do a job for $100 and you need to pay $1,000, but do it in the name of Jesus so that torment does not enter into your life. I also want to speak on something that we often never get to, that we're doing okay and we feel strong in the Lord, but we have those around us that are tormented with evil spirits. They're tormented, and it seems like, and I've been there, no matter how you reason with somebody, they just won't hear it. Anybody been there? No matter what you try to say to encourage somebody, they keep going back to, well, I just can't do it. Well, I just don't see that. I don't see a good outcome here. Or they just continually are going to the negative. Yes. Have you been there? You tried to witness to someone and continually feel that? The only way that we'll have victory over anything that's tormenting someone is to pray for them in the Holy Ghost. We're wanting to see people changed and saved, and I want that more than anything in the world. But we have got to be strong for ourselves so that when somebody else is in need, that we're ready to help ward off what torments them. But we've got to realize just what power that we have in this place. Hallelujah. You may want to expand this building 100 feet, but that is not going to change the caliber of who you are. You may want to put in a better sound system to enjoy your worship, but that is not going to change when you stand your ground against the devil. You may want to have a preacher that's more elaborate of a speaker to stir your heart, but having a different minister in here to preach to you is not going to give you authority when push comes to shove. There's a day coming when the preacher's not going to be able to soothe your heart. There's a day coming when worship's not going to be enough, and there's going to have to be an inward power rise up within you to say, Lord God, I'm trusting you. Lord God, I'm ready for change. I'm tired of being tormented. I'm ready to let go and live as He lives in me. As it rains on the just and the unjust, I want you to be aware that evil spirits will come to those that know God and come to those that do not. And I'm tired of doing what I'll call the unsympathetic drive-by, where you see somebody broke down and you know that you could help them, but you drive on. And that's a physical example. But if you are strong in the Lord, and some of us have that great anointing here in this place, but yet we don't realize the worth of ourselves and won't step out any further because of fear. There's two things I want to remind you about, just in case we've not read it lately. That God is not the author of confusion. So when you feel like that you're spinning around in your purpose of life and wondering what you're supposed to do, there needs to be a relocation of where you are. Get off the merry-go-round of deception and get back in the presence of God. There's not been a time, church, that I've got down to pray that I didn't realize what I'm supposed to do and how that I'm supposed to do it. Only I know that I'm called. How many of us know that we're called of Him? How many of us are chosen of Him? Hallelujah. There's a part of you that when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, it'll show you the direction that you need to go. But more than that, you begin to be empowered. Hallelujah. Tonight, I've been weary for weeks and trying to realize, Lord, is this really where you want me to be? And God, is this really what you want me to do? And He say, yes, but you've got to have some power within you. So lately, I've been saying, God, rid me of every torment. God, rid me of every hindrance. Lord, give me the empowerment of your anointing. Lord, I'm willing to lay it down. We've got to lay down that pity party. We've got to lay down that feeling sorry for ourselves. I'm here to tell you that everybody in here that's drawing breath has hope, and they have a promise, and you have hope in this place. You've got life. Somewhere along the way, the practice of being a church has caused us to be hindered in such a way. This is what the Lord was showing me, that we feel like that we cannot totally be obedient together. That if you see someone under the anointing, that it causes you to not be willing to step forward. Because of fear? Because of the issues with self-worth? Well, Lord, I don't know if I could preach like that. And that'll literally put you in bondage. Even beyond the service that you're in the presence of someone. And I've said that before. If you ever listen to T.D. Jakes, it makes you never want to try to preach. It causes you to say, Lord God, I don't know if I could ever say a word that would ever help anybody. Hallelujah. Give somebody what's on your heart. Give somebody life and not death. Hallelujah. Let's be a church that breaks that tradition. And when you see somebody moving in the Spirit, that you run to them. Hallelujah. I want to break the boundaries that church and man-made things have tried to build up. Hallelujah. Is the day gone where we cannot pray as one? Yet when we see somebody go to the altar, our eyes can be moved somewhere else instead of praying for them. It's my every belief that the unified power of the church as one would bring true deliverance, whether you had 5,000 or whether you had 5. But if you had a body of people that would come together and rid themselves of what is holding them back, you'd begin to see the worth of yourself. You'd begin to see the joy of your life. You'd begin to see the hope, the light at the end of the tunnel. You'd come through instead of staying still, being idle. I want to read another part to you tonight. I'm glad that the Lord has gave us this time to make ourselves aware of these things. Because to those that know and do it not, to them it is what? For us to have the authority. Listen to this. For us to have the authority and yet still act like we don't have the power, to me is absurd. If I really knew and really believed that God was my provider, then I'd never worry about my debt. Ever. If I believe that if I didn't have food in my house that God would bring me manna, I'd never be discouraged. If I believe that if I stepped out and obeyed Him that He would be with me, I'd come in and obey Him every night. If I came in and operated in those gifts of the Holy Ghost, we come in and operated in that, we may go out not tormented. We may go out actually free and of sound mind. We go out a little more healthy. Hallelujah. We wouldn't be weary. You've got to realize tonight. You've got to believe it for yourself. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. It is given to you. Hallelujah. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. He crafted you in His image. He did not create a single person in here without worth. He did not make you for you to be in torment. No, no. He made you to prosper. And every good thing that's given to you is from God. I just praise Him that I am of His workmanship. That He made me for a great thing. Somebody say that with me tonight. He made me for a great thing. You are of His workmanship. Hallelujah. Devil didn't make you, so you don't need to act like that you have no authority over him. God equipped you with the tools that you need, that when it comes time to stand, that you'll stand. For we are His workmanship, created in who? Christ Jesus. Unto good works which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth, from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. You felt like an alien before? I've heard Perry Stone preach this recently. There is a spirit of isolation where we get so grieved with ourselves that we just want to be alone. Get out of my face. I want to go home. I don't want to go anywhere. Just leave me to myself. That is the worst place that we can dwell. When we're isolated, we're more vulnerable to the enemy. And we're acknowledging that we're going to try to do this ourselves. Because God would never put you in isolation. He would never leave you to yourself. The Word of God puts it like this, that He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but that He'll be there always, even unto the end. So what does that tell me? I'm never alone. I shouldn't try to force myself to be alone. God called us to have joy. called us to have peace and of sound mind, that when you have it, that it's not something that you're going to let go of. I'm just going to be real with you tonight. Oftentimes, I don't think that we've really realized the joy of the Lord because we're not willing to pick up the fullness of the Spirit, because we're afraid of what it'll do to us, and we're afraid of how much that it would put our church on the map if we actually just stepped down and obeyed Him. Hallelujah. If we had four or five preachers that would preach, oh, that would just be absurd. It would be out of the order if somebody would sing after somebody preached. It'd be out of order if you got out in the parking lot and caught somebody before it was too late. That would just be absurd. You just need to go home and dwell in your woes. Nobody needs you. If you're hearing that, then you know this message is for you. If you've heard this and it's keeping you from being in the fullness of His Spirit, this is for you. This encouragement is for you. You have the authority to rise up in the Holy Ghost and put to flight every torment that would be upon you and your loved ones and your home and your job. There is no torment that can stay when you bring the name of Jesus in the mix. There's nothing that can live in your life. It's not hereditary. It's not something somebody brought over you. You are not cursed. He said that you have life and it more abundantly. Oh Lord God, when are we going to start living? When are we going to rise up and realize that we're worth something, that we've got something to do, and we shouldn't let nothing hold us back? If you're being held back, you're too bound. If you're being held back by somebody because of their looks, it's not their looks, it's the tormenting spirit that's trying to afflict you. It is my honest belief that if people are truly dwelling in the love of God, that there would not be anything that would try to hinder one another. But how many of us know that there are tormentors out there? People that have just submitted to that spirit that try to discourage anybody from being free in the spirit. I don't want to be a tormentor. I certainly don't want to hinder anybody. So what can we do, Jared, to promote that? Be in support of each other. Find yourself focused on what God is trying to do in the moment. Don't let yourself be pulled away into other things. I know distractions occur, but God will bless you if you focus. God will bless you if you make up your mind. God, no matter what's going on, I'm still going to praise you. For Lord, you see my obedience, even when others would not see it. Even when others are distracted. Even ultimately, when others will not come together, when you're making an effort, God is going to bless you. But we miss a blessing because we won't take that first step. We won't realize our power, and we don't step out and do that very first thing. It's very simple. When you hear the call of God, just do it. Now I'm going to preach that until the Lord takes me home. If you hear God moving on you, it's time to move. And if there's ever a church that you go to that you cannot have the freedom in the Holy Ghost, then I suggest that if you're going to try to stay, that you pray that it be broken, or that you find somewhere where they will let you be empowered in the Spirit. Nothing will prosper if God is not at the forefront. Right? Let me continue to read on. Having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You're close by the deliverance. You're not in some faraway place. The devil has deceived us that we get so far away that we just could not return to church and get our lives turned around. But I'm encouraging you just to turn around and come on. You are not so far off that God will not bless your life. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall, the partition between us. Read another passage here. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.